And yet things don't seem to go in the direction that we want them to go. And it tests us. It tests our faith. There are some things that happen to us that are make or break. We're not talking about somebody who just had a bad day, who got stuck in traffic on the way home. And talking about real trial, real tragedy, things that shake us to our core, sickness and death, pain and suffering. In the midst of all of that, is God sensitive to our suffering? We know that, well, the answer to that, of course, is yes. That's the right answer. He is. But do we really believe that? Do we feel as if He is sensitive to our suffering, that He does care? I'd like to remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that God, He does care. He is sensitive to our suffering, and He has not ignored us. Plenty of examples I could give to you where He says no to Moses about the people suffering in Egypt. No, I've heard. I've heard their cries to me. I've not ignored them. I've not forgotten about them. There are numbers of ways, ladies and gentlemen, in which God does respond to us. There's numbers of ways in which He interacts with us on a daily basis. He's active in our world today. Do you feel as if He's active? Sometimes we put God at a distance, and there are lots of explanations about how we do that. I have thought that people who lived 150 years ago probably felt the Lord was much nearer them than we do today. We have technology, we have science and medicine and all of these other things that sort of become in between us and God. But God is very active in our world today. And we should never lose sight of that. We should take heart in the fact that there are very clear and specific ways in which He does make His presence and His concern known to us. I'd like to remind you, first of all, He is active in our world through conviction. Have you ever been convicted? Have you ever been hearing a sermon in a Bible class, and what is being said, what is being preached and taught, it is almost as if the preacher knew just exactly what had been going on in your life? Have you ever felt that? Where the weight, the guilt of the sin just was piling upon you to the point you wanted to crawl under the seat? Have you ever had someone, a close friend, come to you recognizing that there was sin in your life and tried to talk to you, tried to reason with you, and you couldn't defend yourself? Why is that? That's what conviction is. God's Word is intended to convict us of our sin. James describes God's Word as the mirror to the soul. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I cannot open up God's Word and help but see ourselves and all of our faults. The one who opens up God's Word will leave never being the same again. Not everyone does anything about what they find and what they see in the mirror of the soul, though. And James describes that in the first chapter. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Apostle Paul explains the power of the Scriptures. The Scriptures, incidentally, is a reference to the Old Testament, but salvation's not in the Old Testament, right? Had a lot of people over the years tell me that after preaching a sermon out of the Old Testament. When we make comments like that, we only reveal our lack of understanding about God's redemptive purposes. He says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Scriptures come from God and they're profitable, but like all things that are profitable, they're only that if we make an investment in them. An investment of our time, an investment of our heart's desire to know them and to live by them. The word reproof, though, is word that carries with it the idea of conviction. And that is because of the power of God's Word. God's Word makes a case against us, that there's sin in our life. That is how we come to understand our need for God in our lives, as we recognize that we're in sin, that we're guilty, that we share in the death of our Savior. If you've ever had an experience of feeling the weight of your sin, that's conviction. One way that God is active in our world today. God is also active in terms of discipline. Have you ever been disciplined by the Lord? Well, we might be made to wonder about that in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6. For the Lord loves those whom He chastens and scourges every son whom He receiveth. The Lord disciplines those whom He loves. He describes that relationship as a father to a child. As a father disciplines his son, so too does God discipline us as a means to make us stronger, to bring us to maturity, to make us into the kind of people He wants and needs us to be in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. But knowing the exact specifics of whether or not God has caused something to happen into our life to discipline us, His understanding His providence is for us to wonder about, never to dismiss it, but rather using suffering as an opportunity to grow and to live better. But God does discipline those whom He loves as evidence of His activity in the world today. Another way in which God is active in our world today is through worship. Worship is intended to be a faith-strengthening experience for those who worship God. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord.